Okay, so last week the audio was really crappy. So I'm back at my desk this week. And thank you for those of you that reached out. I did get quite a few messages from people that were listening last week and had some very nice things to say. The subsequent week might have even been worse, but we're going to talk about getting through that and journaling a little bit more. Let's get started. Welcome back to the Mind and Fitness Podcast. It is Thursday, January the 15th. My name is Eddie Lindenstein. As always, thank you so much for being here. Thank you to the patrons of the podcast. Go to patreon.com/ the Mind and Fitness Podcast if you would like to throw a few bucks in the tip jar. So this podcast is called the Mind and Fitness Podcast. And fortunately, unfortunately, I lean in and rely a lot on the mind part of that, but I don't talk so much about the fitness part of that. And it is technically in half of the name. So I thought one thing that I could do each week is maybe go through the workouts that I'm doing to give you an idea and a sense of... Now, again, some of this is going to sound extreme to some people. It might sound super light to others. But the main thing that I want to get across is that really any kind of physical activity is good activity. And for some, it should be graded exposure where you're doing a little bit less. Or you're doing really anything, taking a walk around the block, running for a mile, bench pressing 5,000 pounds. Like it's different for everybody. So this week on Sunday the 11th, I did a 1 rep max bench press, which was horrific for my standards. But then I did Airdyne mixed with bench press, and I did some dumbbell chest flies. I did some tricep extensions, and I did a zone 2 run. I'm going to get into the zone 2 run here in a second. Monday the 12th, which was Audrey's birthday, I did a chipper that was just over and over again of pull-ups and a 4-minute Airdyne ride on the bike. Pull-ups, 4-minute Airdyne ride on the bike, over and over and over. And this lasted 30 or 40 minutes. I did 50 strict knees to elbows, and then I did some Penlay row for accessory work. Tuesday, I did 10 100-meter sprints. So the way that I did this, I did a 100-meter sprint, which nearly every round took me somewhere between 17 and 22 seconds. And then one round took me 25 seconds, and I think that was because it was my first, and it was also going largely uphill, because once you exit my driveway, you're almost entirely uphill. So I would race for a sprint absolute maximum for 100 meters, so about 20 seconds, and then it would be a 4-minute walk. So I did that for 10 rounds. I came back. I used the rings. I did 2 minutes of L-sits. And then today, as I record this, which is the 14th, the main workout that I did was 3 rounds of 50 air squats, 15 pull-ups, 15 dips, and 10 hang power cleans at 135 pounds. I then did 4 sets of 15 strict ring dips. I did 3 sets of 20 of dumbbell reverse lunges with 100 pounds, so 2 50-pound dumbbells. And then that zone 2 run of a mile. So the zone 2 run, I wear a Garmin watch, and really what I'm trying to aim to do is keep my heart rate between 100 and 125 in running. And a lot of times that typically that translates to a 12-minute mile. So I could have a conversation with you if you were beside me. Like that's kind of the pace that I'm going for. And this is more or less like a cool down, get a little bit of extra cardio or conditioning in. But it's meant to be something that I can recover from quickly and easily. So on Friday, which will be the next workout that I'll do, I don't have it in front of me, but it's going to be some snatch work, squat snatch work for some of you out there, but I call it snatch. And I think, let me see if it's the first one that I click on. Yes. So it's going to be 3 sets of 3, 3 sets of 2, 3 sets of 1. So it'll be 3 triples, 3 doubles, 3 singles. And then I imagine the accessory work is going to be some pulls, some Bulgarian split squats, Romanian deadlift, something like that. And that'll be our week. So nearly every single week, my rest days, I love to have them on Thursday and Saturday. So I will work out Sunday through Wednesday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then I'll take Thursday off. And originally the reason that I did this was because Survivor is on Wednesdays and that runs very late. And then also Wednesdays would have AEW Dynamite, which I don't watch as much anymore, but that would go very late. But it's nice having that Thursday sleep in and relax, because when I work out, I'm getting up at 5:45, but somewhere between 5:45 and 6 most of the time. And then when I'm finished, I go and get the kids ready, and then I take them to school, and then I come back, and then I start my day job. So Thursdays I'll usually sleep, or I'll lay in bed till 7:20 or 7:30, which is very nice, before I get up and get the kids ready. The only caveat to this is that Audrey, she's very sweet, she wants to snuggle. So she'll ask, she remembers now, she'll ask me every Wednesday, what time are you getting up? And I'll say 7:30 probably. And she'll go, I'm going to be in your room at 7:20. And she'll come in and then we snuggle on Thursday morning. And then I like taking Saturdays off. Most of the year I'm coaching soccer and Saturday is usually game day. So I like taking that day off and just reserve all of my, everything that I have to do, I will try and reserve it for the intensity that I might need. Turning off my small foot/seat heater here in the garage. But I want to reserve all of the nervous system energy for the game, basically. But then in the offseason, I don't really have an excuse other than, to me, there are very few things that I look forward to more than Friday when work has ended. I can gorge on whatever food I feel like. I can stay up a little bit later, watch wrestling with Audrey, watch a show or a sport with Jenny, and then just chill, like just lay in bed a little bit longer. If we don't have a game until later in the day, which is the case this week, you know, I'll lay in bed and probably until 8. Jenny will go get a coffee. She'll come back. We'll watch an episode of Narcos. That is like peak weekend activity for me. So how long did that, did the workout portion of this take? 7 minutes. Okay, let's get to what's going on. So last week I said, hey, like, it's the toughest period of time that I can recall. And that I had started journaling a lot over the previous, what day would that have been? Over the previous 7 or 8 days. I've been pretty good about that since. I would argue that the past 7 days has been even harder than that period of time was. And I'll do a little peek behind the curtain. If you've been listening to this podcast for a long time, I recorded an episode at the end of 2019 when we put down one of our dogs, Dickie. And I sat there and I cried for 20 or 25 minutes on this show talking about it. If you're a dog person, you will understand. In 2022, same thing. Our dog, Barkley, he had been in relatively poor health for a while. But then we took a trip to Disneyland. We came back, and the day that we got back, he needed to be put to sleep. So we put him to sleep early the next morning. So it was a really unexpected twist. This past Friday, so we have two dogs. We have Lucy, who is our purebred black lab. And then we have Lexi, who is a mutt that we adopted 3.5 years ago from Fresno, California. She was dumped at a homeless camp, and then we got her. She is mostly American Staffy. She's got some other pit bull type in her. And then she has a large portion of herding dog in there, so like German Shepherd and that kind of thing. A little bit of Chihuahua, a little bit of Jindu. She's the sweetest dog you could ever imagine. Does not like the vet, but sweetest dog you could ever imagine. I put her to bed on Friday. That break in my voice is not crying. I put her to bed on Friday. She was perfectly normal, full activity, all that. I woke up Saturday and something was very off. She is a very active dog, full of life, full of love, full of kisses, full of cuddles. Like, she is just the best dog. Something was off. Took her to the vet, took her to a regular vet on Saturday. They felt like, I think they gave her some anti-nausea medication. They gave her some fluids and kind of just sent us on our merry way. She progressed and got worse Sunday. That is when I took her to the animal hospital, and I can't remember. How did this go? Sunday, I took her to the animal hospital. I can't even recall if I brought her home or not. That I think I brought her home that night. I brought her home that night. She got worse the next day. They said to come back if she wasn't better in 24 hours. They had diagnosed her with pneumonia, bacterial pneumonia, most likely. Put her on amoxicillin, gave her 3 doses. She still was not eating. She was just sitting there at my feet shivering on Monday, which was Audrey's birthday. So we're having birthday dinner. I'm celebrating Audrey with my top half, my bottom half. My feet are on Lexi, and I'm just feeling her having shivers and shivers and shivers. She just can't stop shaking. Took her back to the vet. I was there until pretty late. And then she was hospitalized. So that was Monday night. She was hospitalized again on Tuesday and was actually transferred yesterday to a different place where there was an internal medicine doctor and they could do a joint tap test, which was today. And it is becoming more and more clear that what she has, I think, is something called IMPA, which is an autoimmune disease of the joints in dogs. And her immune system wigged out, started attacking itself, and her joints were swollen and just in terrible shape. Her white blood cell count was elevated largely, hugely. And so what they needed to do was take the synovial fluid out of the joints and then put a little bit under a microscope and then take more for further testing. They're testing her lymph nodes, doing all that. But as if so much stuff has been ruled out, it looks like that is the case. The great news on this, from everything that I can see, is that dose her full of prednisone or some kind of other steroid to the millionth degree and then let her, you know, have the pain managed overnight. But that dogs tend to recover from this pretty quickly once you put the initial fire out. And then probably some maintenance over the next weeks or months in terms of like pills, but that she should be pretty much as active as she has always been. And I'll get my dog back. And God, the amount of pain that I felt in 2019 when Dickie passed, and then when Barkley passed in March of 22, and then when Stella, our cat of 13 years, disappeared in June of 22. Every time that something like this happens with a pet, I just swear that I can't do this again with an animal. And because it was so fast with Lexi, yesterday I was ready to, I feel like this is the end for her, was how I was feeling. And I don't feel that way anymore, thankfully. And once again, the thing that has been the greatest asset for me has been journal speak. Because remember, there is an enormous amount of other things going on in my life. My job, my kids. It's just, there is so much that constantly swirls in this head and brain of mine that it's just nearly impossible to try and manage all these things all the time. It's just, so my brain, I constantly find it full, and I'm having, the thing that I tend to do, I guess it's worse than rumination, at least in my opinion it is, where I will tell myself the same story and stories over and over and over again, and I'm having this argument or conversation with myself about things I could have done or things I should have done or things like that. And so I was thinking about, like, what is the, why do I find journal speak to be so satisfactory, especially when the bulk of my stress over the last week has been about one of my kids and my dog. And, but what journal speak has really allowed me to do is to be raw, childlike, and uncensored, because it's not like traditional journaling, which again, sometimes this is just ruminating or dear diary. Here's what happened during my day. This is me revealing shadow self. It allows me to voice the parts of myself that I normally suppress: anger at a child, resentment towards a spouse, deep-seated grief, all these things that you just can't say or do when you're in public or even out loud. So I'm bypassing the protector. I give these unacceptable feelings a voice in a safe and private space, and I bypass that psychological defense mechanism that will usually keep them buried. I can say what I want. I can be the ultimate 1990s or 2000s wrestling heel and say whatever I want. And what's interesting about this is, you know, oftentimes we're talking about journal speak in the sense of pain. And I will say that, like, Saturday and Sunday, very stressful weekend, did not even have the time to journal speak. And I could feel it in my body, that anxiety and that anger and that fear often live in my upper traps. And it took a good session of 10 or 15 minutes on Monday, and that melted away. And it's not a long-term solution, meaning, hey, you feel pain, hey, you should journal speak. But maybe it does. And a 10-minute brain dump has been invaluable. It's an emotional offloading. So it's sort of like an internal toxin, if you think about it. So I'm really puking out all of the stress and the different things that are inside of me. And a lot of times, again, this stuff manifests physically. But I think that the other thing that it also does for a lot of people is that it just has these racing thoughts over and over, racing a million miles an hour about Zoe or Audrey or Lexi or Lucy or the cats or Jenny or whatever, and by slowing it down, putting it all down on paper, what I've noticed is that this normally full, sludgy head that has 100 things all at once, I'm offloading all this stuff on paper, and now suddenly I feel emptiness in a really, really good, positive way. So I want to leave you with that. I'm so happy that you're here. Again, the last week has been tougher even than the time before that, and I was in dire straits on January 1st, as I talked about last week. And I think we're in a good spot. And the hope is that on the day that you hear this, which is a day after the day that I record this, on Thursday, January 15th, Lexi will get to come home and I will update all of you next week. But that sounds like what the case is. So hopefully by the time I'm recording a podcast next week, my sweet girl will be taking walks with me again and it'll all be good. So thanks again for being here. Don't forget to do your journal speak. I'll talk to you later.